Sometimes life is hard, and you just need someone to talk to. Someone who's been there and understands.
That it's about overcoming.
Inspiring others to be brave.
Friendship.
Faith.
Being real.
And living beautifully whole.
So kick back and spend some time with the girls on the Big Blue Couch.
Welcome back to the Girls on the Big Blue Couch Show with Rachel Chumley and Mandy B. Anderson. Coming up is our Real Talk segment with Mandy and I, and later on in the show, we'll be doing Walk by Faith with Joette and your weekly truth statement. This new format will give you a chance to hear from the whole team at Big Blue Couch Coaching as we share life coaching tips and encouragement to help you live a beautifully whole life.
Hey guys, it's your life coach Mandy, and I'm going to take a few moments to get real and give you some life coaching tips to help you grow. And this week we are continuing part two of the topic, three characteristics of great dads. So here are three more characteristics. And according to the U.S. Census Bureau, one-third of U.S. kids are growing up in households without a father in the home. The presence of a father has a positive impact on his children. Research shows over and over again that having a father figure is a crucial part of healthy development for a child. Children need both parents to be involved. Statistics show that fatherless families are at an increase, and more men are having a hard time growing into their roles as fathers. It takes a different kind of commitment to father a child, past conception, and really become a dad. And this takes some time for men to transition from single to father, and we really need to encourage them to not give up. As a society, we need to remember that dads matter in the lives of their children. So as we finish up our Why Dads Matter series with the final segment of Three Characteristics of Great Dads, we want to welcome back to the show our two very special guests, Brandon Chumley and Lance Merrickey, the men in the den.
Hello.
Hi.
It's kind of fun to be in here with you guys. And we also have Nate, who is a silent man in the den. He's here. You just can't hear him.
He's the silent majority.
He's the silent majority. Silent but steady.
I'm usually the silent one.
You are. We're making you talk today.
I love it.
You're doing a great job. So Brandon is the husband of Rachel, and he works on as a drilling foreman for Hunt Oil. He has a schedule that keeps him away from home half of the year, and he is a busy father of three children, ages 9, 6, and almost 3. And Lance is the husband of Madison, who you may know as the keeper of the couch. He works for Grand Theaters, and he has a passion for really helping men grow spiritually and really grow into who they're supposed to be. And so he is also a busy father of one daughter who is 3.5. So I know we already said welcome, but the people want to hear you say it again. So hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, so we're going to start with characteristic number one of a great dad is that he is open-minded. Great dads know their kids will not be exactly like them. He understands that cultures change and that his children will grow up in a completely different world than he did. He doesn't try to manipulate and change everything about his child, but rather stays open-minded to the world that they are living in. So I guess the question that we have for Brandon and Lance is, how has the culture changed from when you were a child to now being a parent, and how have you handled these changes? Brandon, let's start with you.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, for generations and generations, we haven't had much growth in technology. Mm-hmm. And since I've been a child, or Lance and I, excuse me, the technology has just exploded, and social media and everything has just gone so far that we have truly changed from the past 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think we need to find a fine line between where we want our children to be on social media and where we don't want them to be. And I think as we learn and grow, we're going to have to figure out where that is.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting because there are a lot of topics lately about how social media is affecting all of us, but especially for kids, I don't know that we necessarily take into account how that's affecting them or how it's affecting their relationships with their parents.
Right, yep. And I think Lance talked about it last week where as parents we need to stay away from our phones with children, but mm-hmm. at the same time we need to teach them the correct places to be on the internet and social media.
Those are very good tips. How about you, Lance? How would you answer that question?
You know, when we were growing up, it was totally okay to get spanked in public and spare the rod, spoil the child was, you know, alive and well. And I was a very rambunctious little kid who lied a lot. So sometimes my dad had to jack me up, and that's okay. And nowadays, boy, there are certain things that you just don't do with your child in public for, you know, people interpreting it as abuse. And right, and I'm not saying we need to beat our kids, obviously.
Right.
But there is a line of discipline that you can have, and it's totally different. You know, in the 80s growing up, we could run around the yard and we could run around Bismarck and not really worry about what's going on. But now you really have to be vigilant of where your kids are, what they're doing, who they're with, who's affecting, you know, everything around them. Mm-hmm. So that's been, you know, in the last 25 years in Bismarck, that's been a huge change.
I was one of those kids who grew up, well, we're all from the same era, and I grew up getting spanked often. And it was usually my dad who would do the disciplining with that.
Yep.
Is that something as fathers that disciplining in general, has that been a challenge for you?
Yes and no. The first time I spanked Eli, I felt horrible. But at the same time, as the days passed, I think he understood that I wasn't mad at him. I was mad at what he did. And he really still showed love to me. And even after I spanked him, I told him I loved him because I wanted him to know that this wasn't because he was being bad. It was just the thing he did was bad.
I think it's funny how almost with lately in the past 10 years with men not really stepping into their fatherly role, women have really had to step into that and be a disciplinarian. And not to say that they're not doing it well, but it's almost unnatural. It's not, you know, there's something about it that's not really working as well as if it was a man. You know, I wasn't really afraid of my mom spanking me. I was like, well, whatever, mom's home, I'm going to do what I want. When the dad came home, okay, I need to shape up. And so I think we're seeing that in our culture that it's hard for men everywhere to step back into that disciplinary role and do it correctly and not just fly off the handle and then just quit. So I don't really know what I was trying to get at there. But
I think you made a good point, though, that I was the same way where there was a certain look in my mom's eyes where I knew once I got to that look, I need to stop. But I could push it to that point before I would be disciplined. And with my dad, it was definitely here we go, that's it. If I do one more thing, I'm going to get spanked.
Right, yep.
And I really appreciate that because it taught me a lot of different life skills, which is going to go into our second tip here. But I just want to thank you guys for those points of views because that is very important for fathers to be open-minded and aware of the culture changes and aware how it is affecting the family unit and even the kids that their kids are around. So step one is to that a great dad is open-minded. All right, step number two or tip number two is that a great dad teaches his children life skills. This digs a little deeper into one of last week's characteristics of he leads by example. Because great dads will teach their children life skills. A father figure is the prime source of knowledge in the ways of men and teaches his kids accordingly. For example, he teaches them how to be loyal and faithful and grateful. And he teaches them why it's important to tell the truth and be respectful of others. He also teaches them those skills such as how to change the oil, how to change a tire, how to shave, how to build a fire, wash the clothes and cook a meal, which could be something maybe more along the lines of when you are hunting, like how to do all of that when you're out in the wilderness. But those are important life skills that kids need. So the question that we have for Lance and Brandon today are, what are some of the life skills that you are already teaching your children? And what are some that you look forward to teaching them in the future? Lance, let's start with you.
This is an awesome question because I already, whenever we do the dishes, Mason will come and I'll set up a little area for her to do her own dishes. And she actually enjoys it now. So I'm happy that she likes to do that. Or whenever we do the laundry, she likes to watch the clothes go in. And so just those little things that we already do with her. And when she was younger, I wanted to instill in her that she could do whatever she put her mind to. So it sounds kind of mean, but when she was a little baby and she would want to get up on chairs or up on a table or something, I wouldn't help her. I would just say, you can do it. You can do that. And she would look back at me with kind of this distrust, but then she would try. And that has really gone all the way up until now. She's 3.5. And now I kind of loathe it because she says she can do everything. But I'm happy that that's already instilled in her. So mm-hmm. when she's a teenager and when she's a young woman and she faces adversity, she can say, hey, you know what? I can do this. I know mm-hmm. I can do this.
There's a very independent young woman already instilled in her.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Awesome. How about you, Brandon?
Well, I have to admit, my patience isn't very good, so sometimes it's me that is doing the learning and not my children. But I really, with Chloe, it's kind of hard right now because she's so young, but she has such an outgoing spirit that she loves to go to people. And I like that she does that, and I'm trying to teach her to be a little less outgoing all the time, but to still like to talk to people. And with Claire and Eli, the thing I'm trying now, actually in the past couple months, is I want them to ask me what I'm doing or come up to me and try to help me with what it is. And then that at the same time, I'm teaching myself patience and how to teach them instead of just doing it myself. Mm-hmm. And I really think that comes from my background in the oil field where if you want it done, you have to do it yourself, uh-huh. and you better not let anybody else do it.
But. Mm-hmm. I love that, though, because there are probably a lot of parents that can identify with the fact that they are learning patience at the same time mm-hmm. as they are teaching their kids other life skills. You're not alone, Brennan. I'm sure of it. I don't know from my own experience, but from conversations I've had with my own parents about what it was like growing up with me, I probably push their buttons a lot with patience.
It happens.
It does happen. So are there any life skills that you are looking forward to teaching your kids in the future?
Yes. Eli is really interested in vehicles to the point where when he was younger, he used to take apart either my air compressors or stuff and then lose the parts. And that's where I would really lose my patience yeah. and get angry with him. But now that he's getting a little bit older, we've come to an understanding that if he wants to learn something, he'll come and ask me about it uh-huh. and not lose things. And Claire, she loves almost everything to do with the outdoors or fishing or swimming or anything. And I'm sure she loves to shoot, too. Mm-hmm. And I really can't wait to whoever in my family wants to learn that, I'd be more than happy to teach them.
I can see your excitement. Like, you're just like, yay, they're getting old enough now to do those bonding experiences.
Right. And hopefully by that time, I'll have enough patience.
I bet you will.
Yeah.
How about you, Lance? Anything you're looking forward to teaching Mason?
Yeah, she already has this extreme passion for singing and performing. And with me, I've always loved that as mm-hmm. well, and having music be such a huge part of our lives. So I'm looking forward to whatever when she comes home and she's like, hey, I'm passionate about the French horn or whatever instrument or, you know, singing and getting my creativity out. I am so looking forward to that day when I can be alongside her and help her with that and, you know, do something with her.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. If she comes home and says she wants to play the French horn, I want to come hear that.
I really hope she doesn't. I hate that instrument.
I'm thinking it would probably be drums.
That was actually the one that I saw. That I when the band teacher came in fourth grade and he laid out all the instruments, that was the one I went to. So maybe that's why I just went in there.
You went to the French horn?
Yes. It was my mom who steered me to the drums.
Oh, there you go.
She said, you know, you have a good rhythm. Why don't you go to the... I'm so glad
you
she
can't
did.
Do much with the French horn
no.
in a band.
No.
or no. in a worship team.
No, or anything.
Anything, yeah.
Outside of an orchestra, yeah.
There you go. Okay, well, the third characteristic of a great dad is that he is the spiritual leader of his home. We know that children will experience God through the lens of their earthly fathers. And this is probably the most important characteristic of a great dad, to be the spiritual leader of his home. So the question that we have for you is, how does being the spiritual leader of your home make you feel? And how do you lead your children by example in this area? Lance, let's go with you.
This is cool that you ended with this one, because I do think that I do think that this is the most important one, and mm-hmm. it kind of encompasses all the other five characteristics as well. It's something that we, as our culture, is getting away from spirituality. We're losing the importance of this, and I think it's very important as far as just the health of your home. Mm-hmm. You know, your culture is going to be as healthy as you are, especially as a dad. And so if you can make your spiritual life healthy, which is praying, which is reading your Bible, doing devotions, any sort of those spiritual elements, if you can make that healthy in your own life, mm-hmm. it's going to spill out into your wife and your child. And Madison and I have been really trying to be more intentional. You know, we failed in the past at not praying together enough, not reading the word together enough. And that's something we really tried to incorporate with bedtime, with meal time, with story time, any of that stuff for Mason, so that she mm-hmm. can see that and say, wow, this is important to Dad, so this is going to be important to me. Mm-hmm. So I think that if we can make Mason grow up with a healthy spiritual life, and let's say she fails everywhere else, I feel like that's a success. Because as long as she gives glory to God for what she has, glory to God in every area and aspect of her life, then we've done okay.
Awesome. That's a great way to look at it. How about you, Brandon? How would you answer that?
Well, I've really been blessed because I'm gone for 2 weeks at a time. I have a family, Lance and Joette and everybody, grandmas and grandpas, that are really spiritual based too. And while I'm gone, I think that really helps fill that void when Daddy's not home. And when I am home, I really try to go to church with them and bring them to Wednesday night services and anything that I can to show them that it is the right path to go on, and the morals are better if you stay on that path. Mm-hmm. I think that's about it.
That's all you have to say about that in your words of Forrest Gump, right?
You're making me speak too much.
Hey, you have some great words of wisdom that you've already shared. So I do want to thank both of you for taking the time out of your busy schedules to come and do these podcast episodes with us about why dads matter. And so we're really honored to be able to share your wisdom and your outlook on life with our audience. And I just know that they're going to be encouraged by the tips that you've shared and the wisdom and insight that you've given. So thank you so much. And we want to leave you today with some real life application tips that you can do this week. And the first one is this. If there is something you and your child are butting heads with in regards to changing culture, maybe you're disagreeing on and it's really causing a lot of problems in your relationship, then we encourage you to take a moment and really think about whether or not this is worth the fight. Will your child's actions cause them harm, or will they cause someone else harm? If the answer is no, then maybe this is something you can let go of and let them experience. And even have a conversation with them so you can understand more their point of view, depending on how old they are. The second tip is to make a list of the things that you want to teach your child and start making plans this week to start checking things off of that list. And then the last application tip is to take your child or your children to church this week or listen to a sermon online together to build a great spiritual foundation for your child. And if you're not, if you don't have a church home to go to and you're not sure where to start, a great place that we like to start with is Elevation Church. They have some great podcast episodes. You can find them at elevationchurch.org. Another one you can look up is Evangel from Bismarck, North Dakota. They have some great podcast episodes as well. So we want to thank you for joining us for this Real Talk session. Stay tuned, because coming up next, we've got some great Walk by Faith tips from Rachel.
Have you ever struggled with comparing yourself to others and embracing your God-given talents and dreams? The Unashamed Bible Study is designed to help you erase the lies and discover the truth about who God says you are. It's time to embrace your authentic self with an easy-to-apply 30-day Bible study. Learn more at www.bigbluecouchcoaching.com/unashamed.
Hi, everyone. It's Rachel. Welcome to Walk by Faith. Each Monday, we bring you a boost of faith and encouragement to help you be brave and overcome obstacles and live beautifully whole. Today, our scripture reference is from John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Today, I want to talk to you about fear and hope. Fear is the thing that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Hope comes to build and restore. Fear brings abandonment and pain. Hope heals and forgives. Fear is that thing that makes you crawl into the fetal position for 45 minutes on your bathroom floor. It's that overwhelming sense of doom. Fear is that dark, heavy, overwhelming clouds of depression. It's debilitating. Hope is what makes you get back up. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe you have a God who loves you? I do. But do you also believe you have an enemy who hates you? I do now more than I ever did before, because I know he wants to destroy my marriage, my life, and my family. If you don't believe me, keep listening, because I want to share with you why I believe this to be true. In the fall of 2012, I spent one of the most beautiful days I have ever had with my husband. It was going to end as one of the most painful days of my entire life. What started as a simple disagreement would later find me huddled in the fetal position on the floor of my bathroom, crying uncontrollably for 45 minutes. This was the beginning of a 12-hour battle with the enemy himself. The pain came in waves, extreme anger mixed with intense vulnerability like a well-timed dance. I have never felt abandonment like I did that night. The enemy told me outrageous lies about my husband, my marriage, myself, and even the calling God had called me to do. He had me questioning everything I knew to be true and even had me believing my marriage and my calling were over. It was the first time, but not the last, that I would experience a panic attack. I remember the next morning, I started thinking about what had happened the night before. After I dropped my children off at their various morning activities, I was driving home and was trying to figure out why this was affecting me so much. You see, I had made a practice of building up walls around my heart and my emotions. It's really how I survived those worst years of my marriage. So I wondered, why was this getting to me? Why couldn't I pull myself together and stop crying? All of a sudden, the truth came as quickly as the lies. I started to realize that the enemy was trying to kill the plans and dreams that God had given me. I realized he was trying to stop the breakthrough that I would have a week later when I would finally realize that I was dealing with depression and postpartum OCD and that I wasn't a bad mom and a bad wife. I was sick. I realized that my husband had not abandoned me. And most importantly, I realized that my God had not abandoned me. In fact, when my husband did finally receive my incoherent and emotional texts and emails the next morning, he got in his truck and drove home. He didn't have any cell service at his job that night, so he had no idea the turmoil that I was going through. He told me when he got there that morning that this was more important. Later on, we found out that I had classic symptoms of postpartum OCD. This is what caused me to be full of anxiety, filled with thoughts of doom and harm coming to my children, prone to rage and yelling, and I even had some OCD tendencies. What we found out that day took nearly 18 months for me to heal completely and get well again. It was painful and slow some days. Sometimes it felt like I was taking one step forward and two steps back. But I am so grateful that I kept moving. That was my day for breakthrough and the start of the season of healing for me. Is today yours? Can I tell you something? You might have an enemy who wants to destroy you and he'll scream insults and lies into your life. He is a master manipulator and the one who brings fear. But you also have a God who loves you and promises to walk through all of those valleys with you. He promises to whisper hope when you don't think you can take another step or get off that bathroom floor. He is the one who brings light and truth when you're in the depths of the pit like I was that night. When you're down there, look for the light. Your breakthrough is just on the other side. Rise up, overcomer, because it's time to pick up your mat and walk. If you find yourself in a season of pain or darkness or maybe some depression, it's time to fill yourself up with truth. So take some time this week and make some post-it notes with Bible verses, encouraging words, and put them all over your house. This is what I did to walk through that season and remind myself of the truth. This will help you find the light when the darkness comes on quickly. Dark seasons may change who we are, but they don't define who we are. You are not your sickness, your depression, or your pain. And it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to need help sometimes. Give yourself permission today to take that one step out of the darkness and into the light. I am so honored to spend time with you this week and help you take a step of faith and a step out of the darkness. Make sure you take some time this week to meditate on this week's verse and the journal question. Thanks for spending time with me, and I look forward to seeing you again soon. Goodbye.
Living beautifully whole requires skills. Big Blue Couch Coaching has just what you need with a monthly life coaching workshop designed just for you. For all the latest dates and details, visit www.bigbluecouchcoaching.com/workshops.
We want to thank you so much for listening to the Girls on the Big Blue Couch Show, and we want to leave you with a truth statement for this week. Your truth statement is going to be the thing that you post in your house so that you can see it every single day so it becomes a part of who you are. And your truth statement is, I have not been given a spirit of fear. With God, I have hope. Let me say it again. I have not been given a spirit of fear. With God, I have hope. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the Big Blue Couch. For all the latest updates, free resources, upcoming events, and coaching services, be sure to visit www.bigbluecouchcoaching.com. Also, check us out on Facebook and Twitter for daily connection with the team. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Remember to tune in next week for more tips on living beautifully whole with the girls on the Big Blue Couch.